Before we start today, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and mind body coach based out of Los Angeles, and you might remember that she guest hosted the podcast for me back in January and came on live with me in August of 2021. And of course, she was here just this past August in 2022, where we had episode 238 called Stress Talk. Jeannie spent 16 years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a myriad of other chronic symptoms that left her both physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. In her program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, and finally heal their chronic pain. Are you feeling stuck in your journey? Are you frustrated because you're familiar with TMS concepts, but haven't seen much improvement? Are you sick of everyone talking about feeling their emotions because you don't know how to do it? Perhaps you're now realizing that you can't keep doing this on your own. Jeannie offers a free 45-minute consult where she'll help you identify what's holding you back so you can take your next steps towards healing. Go to her website, that's jeanniecolwin.com, JeannieKulwin.com, and book your free call to see if this would be a good fit. Welcome back. It is Thursday, November the 10th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast, and I want to make sure that I start out by giving a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you are interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. It's what helps keep this on the air and keep it available for free to all listeners around the world. So let's start out with Barb and Arnie and Brian, Julie, Ross, Christina, Mike, Michael, Tony, Kelly, Irina, Mindy, Jason, John, Sylvie, Sasha, Dominic, Enda, Elise, Amanda, Paul, Emily, Kirk, Daniel, and Deborah. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single month. I am greatly appreciative of you. So this week, this is sort of revisiting something I did a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to call it Deleting Pain. But this is with someone named Elise, and she's based out of Alaska. So we go through and talk about some of her background and where I feel like might be contributing to her getting stuck in her process going through. So we identified a couple of things. I gave some suggestions. I'm really happy with how this turned out. Again, as the disclaimer, I am not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychotherapist. The advice given in this is purely because I feel like I have something to add and something to contribute to somebody based on my experience and what I've learned over the years in this this line of work. So without further ado, here is Elise and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and I have a guest with me. This is similar to what I did a couple of weeks ago, and I think I've landed on deleting pain, I think is what I'd like to call it. But Elise from Alaska is here with me. Elise, can you hear me?
Hi, Eddie. Yes, I can hear you.
I was going to ask this a minute ago, but are you in that part of Alaska where certain times of the year it just never gets dark, or is that a different part of Alaska for you?
Oh, no, that's where I live.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. That is crazy. So what I assume that's probably in the summer, right? Summer or spring or something like that.
Well, so in the winter, it's dark all day, and in the summer, it's light all day.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I started following a couple of accounts on TikTok. I think they're in like the South Pole or something like that, where it's dark. It's completely dark 6 or 7 months out of the year. But those places always fascinate me. Like, we're at that point in time right now during the year, we're getting close to winter. I mean, how do you cope? I'm just being honest. Like, cause I, a lot of times in the Pacific Northwest, it'll just rain and rain and rain and be cold for 6 or 7 consecutive months. And I don't know how I've managed to do that for several years. This is kind of the first year where I'm like, I don't know if I can do another 6 straight months of this. But how do you handle not even seeing sunlight for a certain amount of time?
It's tough. I grew up here, and as a child, it never even fazed me. I didn't even notice it. Yeah. But now that I'm 40, like, those long days of just darkness, you know, you leave your house to go to work or drop the kids off and it's dark, and then you pick them up and it's dark. It it really wears me down. It makes you really tired. And a lot of people buy what they call happy lights. It's like an artificial sun lamp.
Yeah.
They haven't been really helpful for me, but as long as I, you know, keep active, like go to the gym every day or, you know, even go tanning, it really helps.
Yeah. That's what, do you do the clock change? Like, did you guys change clocks yesterday?
Yeah,
you did. So what happens? Like, what did it look like Saturday for sunrise and sunset versus what it looked like today? Was there any difference really?
No, not, I mean, it was already dark, getting dark early, like 3-4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I really noticed it.
Okay.
Except that now, you know, instead of getting up at 5:30, I'm getting up at 4:30, which just kind of kicked my butt a little bit.
Yeah. What's another hour? The beginning of last fall, I was out running and people that are listening to this are going to think this is so stupid because there's wildlife everywhere. But I was out running at the beginning of last fall, 2021. And I just, it was just like a warm up run. I was doing like a half mile or something before I got started. And, I see something moving in my peripheral and it was a coyote ran right up on me. And it was way smaller than me. And I know if I just got big and I yelled at it or whatever, it would have just gone away and that would have been that. But, any time that other than the summer where it's really bright starting at 5:30 or 6 a.m. and I work out about 6:30, I just can't bring myself to go run because I don't want to have another run-in with something like that again. And so the changing of the clocks made it so it wasn't pitch dark early this morning. So I did take advantage of that. However, I coach soccer for 8- and 9-year-olds and our practice starts at 5 o'clock and sunset is at 4:30 today. So we'll see how it goes with wow. that. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So I want to thank you for emailing me. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a directive from people listening. I had said, hey, what I'm looking for is maybe somebody or a couple of people that maybe they have knowledge of this TMS mind body work, but they're either stuck or they've had issues feeling like they're getting the kind of progress that they expected to get. And I would invite you to come on the air and let's just talk about it. And I got a nice email from you saying that's what I was looking for. So tell me what's going on with you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to you for answering my email. I kind of figured you'd get so many responses that I don't know, mine would fall off or something, but it's been about 3 years for me now. I have basically pelvic and bladder pain. I have had UTIs my whole life. And so I just kind of thought in the beginning, it was just a really bad one. But I went on antibiotics for about 18 months. I've had surgeries. I had the inside of my bladder burned. I've tried acupuncture. I mean, it's crazy the things that I did to try and get better, and nothing really made any difference. And one of the girls in a group that I belong to for sufferers said, no, I just heard about this thing. It's called TMS. And I read, it was Nicole Sachs' book.
Yeah.
She's like, I think that's what it is for all of us. And you should really check it out. And I just like did some journaling and now I'm 100% better. And like being on those antibiotics was making me physically ill. You know, it made my stomach upset. I was losing a bunch of weight. I stopped going to the gym. So I was deconditioned. I would get out of breath just, you know, walking up the stairs. I was in bad shape.
Yeah.
And my husband was deployed at the time. And so I was kind of on my own. I'm the breadwinner. And so it's not like I could just curl up in bed and go to sleep, even though that's really what I wanted to do. So she talked to everybody about TMS and I read the book and I did try the journaling. I love writing. If I hadn't become a nurse, I was going to become a journalist. I have no issues with the journaling, except that for whatever reason, it wasn't like spilling out my feelings for me. I could have been writing about, you know, how to make bread. There was no feeling behind it. Whereas when I would journal when I was younger, it was very helpful for me. I remember crying and after I was done writing, I would feel so much better and it was a really good outlet for me. And so I got frustrated when I didn't feel like the journaling was working because I was so excited. I was like, well, I can do that. I love to write. And for whatever reason, there's just this big disconnect. And I almost feel like it might've made things worse for me just because There is a lot of trauma in my past for me, and I don't think that those were things I probably should have been opening up and exploring without probably the help of a therapist. But I've also done some online pain reprocessing courses. I did Lynn, I did Menda. I'm doing one healing female pelvic pain right now, and I've learned so much from all of them. And I would say the biggest turning point for me was when I made my evidence list and I realized that this definitely, it makes so much sense for me. It makes more sense than letting doctors do surgeries and burning my bladder and doing all those things. And the moment that I realized that, I stopped doing the crazy Google searches. I stopped taking antibiotics. Like I committed to this, and I know that this is my answer. I just, you know, it's been since about January that I've been pursuing it, and I've come a long way, but I still have the pain daily. And I just feel like I'm never going to get that, that aha moment that so many people get, or when they reach where they can be indifferent. And I'm not sure if it's because the pain kind of maybe serves a purpose for me. And so I don't know. I'm stumped a little bit.
So the pain serves a purpose for everybody, so that it wouldn't just be you. I want to hear it. I think I know what you mean in terms of the evidence list, but elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, I recalled the first time that I followed up with the doctor and said, hey, these antibiotics aren't working for me. And he said, oh, that's because you have this thing called interstitial cystitis. And so I went home and started, I'm a nurse, but I've never heard of that diagnosis before. And I started Google searching it. And there was women saying, like, I've got a noose in my closet. I'm ready to go hang myself. Somebody please talk me out of it. This hurts so much. And like in that instant, the pain got about 1,000 times worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't think about it that way at the time because I was so convinced that it was something structural, but I remember the day very clearly because it was like, it was almost like something out of a sci-fi movie. My pelvic area almost like enlarged. I looked bloated. It was very swollen, and it hadn't been before I went home and started looking into this horrible diagnosis. Like physically you could see I was just swollen and inflamed. And then when I look at the personality traits, I mean, I think that's a huge deal for everybody when they're like, oh my gosh, that's totally me. And then I remembered, as a teenager, I, suffered with TMJ. It's a, a jaw, malfunction, I guess. And I, I did all this imaging and, had all these appointments. And I remember one day I was like, you know what? I can still do everything in my life the same way I've always wanted to. I'll just have a little bit of jaw pain. I'm done thinking about this. I'm just going to live with it. And within a few weeks, my TMJ was gone. Like my jaw still clicks and pops, but there's no pain with it.
Yeah.
And so when I remember, like as a, I didn't know what TMJ was. I didn't know that I was, you know, finding safety in my nervous system by doing that. But as I reflect back, I think, wow, like that was totally TMS for me as well.
I'm curious, the TMJ part in particular, what do you think caught, because I mean, you, how old were you, by the way, or how many years ago was that, was the TMJ piece when that happened?
I was 13, 14 years old.
Okay. And so you had decided at 13 or 14, hey, like, I'm not dealing with this and move on with my life, whatever it is, what it is. And okay. So, I mean, that's an awesome story, and that's exactly the, that's the mother lode of the Holy Grail of all of this stuff is being able to get there, and get to a point where you are there. And I think that people that have a lot of success in being able to get rid of their symptoms to such a way that it's not bothersome anymore, they need to get to that place. Like that's the absolute must. What do you think is preventing you from getting to that place right now with the other issues that are going on?
You know, it all, when I look back at when I was talking about my evidence list, this all started for me when, I was at a very, very difficult, point in my marriage. And, I think it's somewhere in the back of my mind, knowing that if the pain is gone, I no longer like have a reason to resist working on that. I guess for as long as I have the pain, there's a reason for me to be kind of distant and, you know, not intimate or anything like that. I really feel like it's the fear of that that's kind of keeping me where I'm at.
I mean, so you literally, I mean, we're 12 minutes into this and I feel like you've cracked the code on what it is that you're talking about. I mean, that does sound pretty accurate to me based on what it is that you're saying. There's a secondary gain's probably not the right word for what it is or right term for what it is that you're describing. But you're right because it can get it. Sarno talks about this kind of stuff in his book, right? If he might be describing the situations aren't exactly the same, but they're very similar, where if you have back pain, for instance, if you're a man with back pain, you can't go and pick up the kid out of the bassinet or out of the, God, it's been so long since my kids have been young enough to need any of these things, a crib. I was forgetting what those were called. The secondary gain there is kind of this unconscious or subconscious, hey, I don't have to do these things if my back hurts. And it's never anything intentional. You know, you're not making any part of you hurt. You're not causing your pelvic pain. You're not causing the bladder pain. But I think that that probably is a big piece of it. Versus when you're 13 or 14, I mean, it's pretty inconsequential to just say, hey, I'm not dealing with this anymore. It's not going to run my life anymore. And whatever happens, it is what it is. It's very difficult to do that as an adult. How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 40.
Okay. So the other thing that I think is interesting, did you say that, this began when your husband was deployed?
So right before he deployed, to Kosovo, I made a discovery that was extremely upsetting. And, for the first few months he was deployed, like I would just not take his calls or I would answer and then scream at him. Like I was really hurt and angry. And then one day I said, you know what? Like, I don't want to be this angry person anymore. I'm just going to drop it and let it go and move on with my life. And I could sleep again. I could eat again. I could function at work again. And it was like the next day that the pain started for me.
So one thing I really admire about you just in this short time you've been telling me about a lot of this stuff is that it does seem like you have like an innate ability to say, hey, the first part you've talked about this was like a young teenager. But basically, hey, when stuff goes awry, I can choose to chew on it and let it consume me, or I can just move on and let it be. I think it's a wonderful trait. However, it's a catch 22, because ultimately that problem is still there, meaning that like your nervous system is still caught up in whatever that problem is, responds fairly slowly ultimately. And I talked about this, I think, on the most recent episode that I did, the solo one, is that the subconscious is really, it's the body is a byproduct of the subconscious. And that's where you're feeling a lot of, that's what pain is its feelings. So that hasn't gotten the message yet that, hey, this thing happened, but I can't let it to continue to run my life. And so I want to move into the journaling aspect, because I think that it's really interesting that you had said that it wasn't bringing out feelings. There was like a disconnection. Yet when you were younger, you could write about these things and it would be release. I don't think you use the term release, but it would be in a lot of ways. So Tell me about like a journaling session. You know, what are you writing? If you're comfortable in saying, what are you writing? What's kind of the overall tone of it?
Well, I should preface my answer by saying, like as a child, I was the middle child. My sisters are identical twins. They're about a year younger than me. And then my brother was about 4 years older. And so like the sisters always played with each other and my brother never wanted to have anything to do with me. So journaling for me was like, it was my friend. It was my soul. I would write music in there, write poetry. It was just like, it made me feel good to know that it was there. And because of extenuating circumstances, my mom went through my room and gathered up all of my journals and burned them. And it was like pretty much since then that I've never been able to really journal in the same way. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Like there's like a wall that I've put up where it's kind of like, I don't know. I can't do it like that anymore.
And do you think that maybe part of that is like, there's a part inside of you that thinks that somebody's going to come and take these and burn them up again?
Well, yeah, especially since, you know, Nicole says you're supposed to rip it up.
Yeah.
That was really hard for me. So that might have part to do with it, but also I think, I have been incredibly disconnected from my body. Like I've spent so much of my life shutting it up. You know, I work as a nurse. And so, when I get a full bladder, a lot of days I'll be like, well, you know what? I kind of need to go, but there's that call light going off. You just need to knock it off. I'm not going to take care of this right now. Yeah. Or, you know, I had an eating disorder when I was younger and it was always like yelling at my stomach to stop growling at me because I'm not going to eat right now. Like I had control over those things. Yep. And, I spent a long time like basically telling my body to shut up. And so I think that's a big part of it too, is not really being able to reconnect. It took me a long time, you know, to realize that when I would, get angry, I get, you know, this feeling in the pit of my stomach or like my throat kind of closes up a little bit. It took me a really long time doing, you know, the TMS work to even realize that your feelings manifest in your body. And yeah. So I'm still refining that, but, I guess I don't know for sure what the resistance to the journaling is, but I try and do it like Nicole says, you know, throw caution to the wind. You're going to write down all the things that you want to say, but you don't, because you know, you're afraid it'll make you angry or hurt somebody's feelings. You know, I've tried to evoke, you know, that kind of emotion. And it's just, for whatever reason, I just can't seem to do it.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I like all, I don't like rap music or like hard rock, but I pretty much like everything else.
Okay. Darn. So I was going to say, what I've talked to people in the past, and there's sort of been this block, because one challenge, like journaling can work extremely well for certain people. How you described you back when you really enjoyed it and you did it and you saw it as a friend, which I think is a perfect way to describe it. Like journaling was an ally of yours. And so you have these feelings or these moments, you're writing poetry, you're doing all that kind of stuff. You have this legitimate friend that you can say anything to, and you can trust that they're not going to go tell the school about the secrets that you have. Then right. Somebody comes in and they burns all your shit up, right? So now you don't really, you don't have that friend anymore, like physically. But then two, you also have lost the trust of, you've lost the trust of the friend because you can't, there's nothing that you can say to them. So I totally understand that it's tough to get there. And so what I would imagine a lot of what it is that you're doing now with journaling or whenever you most recently have tried it and sort of deemed that, hey, this isn't going to work for me, is that it's very subtle, but you're probably writing more of a story than you are writing a feeling. And it's very difficult to do, to write a feeling. And I find that the more that we age or the older that we get, the more difficult it really becomes to make that distinction. So the people that tend to have a lot of success with journaling are probably the people that are writing about a feeling, but it's not being really connected to the body at all. You're riding on a ship as opposed to like driving the ship. I will tell you that if you haven't listened to episode, what is the 136 with someone named Kitty Pert? Does that sound familiar to you at all?
Yes.
So I'd go back and I'd listen to that. So she, very similar symptoms to what it is that you're describing. Journaling worked amazingly well for her, and she explains why, but she had several surgeries, had pelvic pain. She had endometriosis. Like there's a lot of stuff that went in there. We keep in very loose contact still, but she's still continuing to have the same success. And ultimately this path allowed her to really get into her body and feel feelings again, because that was the issue, that it was not doing that before. You know, one way that I would say could be really beneficial to you is that, not even thinking of it as journaling, but this is where the rap music comes in, but writing a letter to somebody that you can then rip up, like you talked about, and I don't know what the circumstances are and you don't have to tell me, but a husband's leaving to Kosovo and you find something out or you discover something or whatever the case may be, and you're so upset about it, you go over this period of time and then decide, hey, I'm just going to bury it. If you could go back in time and write this letter to your husband at the time, whatever it was you were feeling and the anger that's there, like that might help you start to feel something. And if you, I mean, maybe even stopping every couple of minutes to just close your eyes and try and find some sort of a sensation in your body, that's a really slow way to be able to start making that connection again. And so that's something that I would recommend doing.
Okay. Definitely.
As far as the TMJ thing is interesting because my wife works with a therapist, and this therapist sent her to, massage therapist isn't the right term, but it's like an advanced massage therapist. But she went and, the way she described it was that like she put her hand on my wife's mandible and just clenched down on it and told her that, you know, all the muscles that are involved in TMJ are really high strung or they're really stiff or whatever the case is. And, you know, my wife does the same thing. So it's, and that like just happened is the TMJ piece. So that's interesting. What else? Cause I, to me, it sounds like you understand this stuff and you grasp it, but it's very like in theory and it's almost like heady. And I get the sense that like, you're probably in your head quite a bit and almost kind of questioning back and forth, or almost like a lack of confidence in, I mean, even in yourself, sort of. Like, do you think that's the case? Like, does that sound like you?
Definitely. Okay. I guess my question for you would be, I found kind of a common theme in a lot of the success stories that I've listened to. Like for you, you know, you have a love of, you know, motorcycles and, you know, Olympic weightlifting and things like that. And I heard one lady say that she started dancing, and then another person, oh, I started doing yoga. And the course that I'm taking now talks about cultivating pleasure as a way to, you know, basically show some love to yourself. And when I read that, I thought, well, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I do enjoy physical fitness, but it's not like for you where it's like, you actually like get pleasure from it. For me, it's more like, yeah, I also know that I have to brush my teeth twice a day in order to have, you know, healthy teeth. It's like, it's important to me to know that I take care of my body that way, but it's not as though, you know, I wake up and I'm like, I just can't wait to go and get sweaty at the gym. You know, it's more of like, it makes me feel good to know that I have a good habit like that. And then I thought about, you know, I played the violin and the flute and the oboe as a kid. Maybe I could pick those things up and start doing that. But there's a lot of resistance to it for me. Like, for 20 years now, I've been, you know, just raising children and working. And, you know, right now I'm doing a graduate program to be a nurse practitioner. There's nothing I can think of that I could do that would really seem like a pleasurable thing for me. And I didn't know if you had any advice as to, you know, maybe a way to find what would be a good fit for me.
So there's two things I would say to that. It sounds like you do know, and it sounds like musical instruments are something that you've had a passion about in the past. So I would explore that a little bit. There's definitely some muscle memory there, but it looks like that is something that you actually had enjoyment out of. I'm a big proponent of physical fitness, but if for nothing else, the fact that it's something that I can engage with that gives me a feeling of power, where I feel strong, and not just because it's lifting of weights, but like it is a true sense of accomplishment. And I feel the same, you know, I can find accomplishment in a lot of different things that I do. It could be the motorcycle riding. And I recently in the last 3 years took up, adventure, like off-road style motorcycle riding, because it was a challenge. And because when I do reach the top of a hill climb, or I go down a really steep embankment, or like this past summer, I did a trip that involved probably, I don't know, 500 or 600 miles of off-road riding on terrain that I never would have even thought about attempting 3 or 4 years ago. And so that was something that made me feel powerful. And so, and same thing with my skateboard, like that's something that I couldn't do as a 20 or a 25 year old. And now I'm a 36 year old and I ride this electric one wheel skateboard and I feel tremendous accomplishment and power and strength through that. So that'd be something that I would think about. And, you know, the gym could totally not be something that makes you feel that empowerment. But if you feel empowered by playing music or writing music or like actually playing an instrument, like that could be a real clue. And furthermore on that, Steve Ozanich's book, he talked about a necessity in healing and doing something that's involved in the arts. And so for some people that means painting. Music is certainly in there. He actually specifically talks about music and how perfect that is for a TMS personality and somebody that's trying to recover. I think of podcasting as an art, and so that's sort of my art. But that's what I would say, because to me it sounds, I mean, in one sentence you'll say that you have this thing that you used to really enjoy, but then in the next sentence it's, hey, I don't know what I can do that will give me enjoyment. I mean, you said it in the previous sentence. I know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that makes total sense.
Are there other things too? Like just, you know, think back to the days before you were a parent. Because I'm super interested in this period of time where you used to journal and write and do poetry and that kind of stuff. Again, you had that safe friend that you could lean on, the notebook. I'm assuming this was handwritten or was this digital? It would have to be handwritten because it was burned. I'm thinking around that period of time because that seemed like that was probably like that's the carefree Elise that just does things that give her pleasure. Like, what other things did you have that you would consider as hobbies or interests at the time that you did?
A lot of it was just the music. I orchestra and band. I did marching band. And I was always involved with my church. But even when I was younger, I always had a job too. So between like school, I took, a lot of the advanced classes in school. So that kept me really busy too. And then, the music I played in the symphony and, I would say that was really all I had time for was work and school and music. And I tried, running track a few years and other things like that. But I think, my biological father is a musician. Like he, that's what he did for a living. And so all of us kids took up musical instruments.
Would you say, thinking back, that like you did music because you liked it, or did you do music because dad did it?
I think at first I did music because my mom said, each one of you guys will learn an instrument. And then, she put us in private lessons and, we did things like the youth symphony and the other things, but I did those because I wanted to.
Yeah.
It's not an easy life for a kid in the marching band in high school. You get picked on mercilessly, but, yeah. I enjoyed it. You got to go to all the football games and, I did those things because I wanted to. It started off as like, it was kind of expected being the offspring of a talented musician, but then, I didn't have to go on and also learn the flute and the oboe and all those things. So
is there an opportunity like in your, commute, like for instance, like we have I live close to a couple of towns that they have recreation centers and they have programs like this where adults can go and take a class on the flute or whatever for even at the community college, actually, they would have something like this where you can do, you go to a class with other people that are into it, for an hour a week or a couple hours a week or whatever. Like, is there anything like that in your community that you can think of?
Yeah, I think the university does like an adult extended learning. I forget what they call it, but yeah, things like that. They teach like gardening, and I think there is some music and other things like that.
Yeah. It's funny you say the gardening. I feel like that's like half of the community college that's near me is this gardening facility, because I ride the skateboard around the gardening facility a lot of times. And my mom's she was a botanist too. So I grew up kind of with that, but, I would really explore that. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're playing the role of mom and you're also, you're going to school, you're a nurse, which I think, I mean, I salute you. I think the two hardest jobs in the world are a nurse and a school teacher. I think there's nothing harder than those two things. So, so I certainly commend you. I would really investigate that, because it sounds like there's like a real opportunity here to find some joy in something that makes you feel power. Again, powerful is not just, hey, I'm flexing my muscles and I have veins and I have all this kind of stuff, how we traditionally think of strength and power. Cause that's the stuff where, like, you know, you're creating moments and an opportunity for yourself to feel strength. I think it'll also really help in being able to just interact with other adults, which is highly underrated. But you know, ultimately having something that gives you a little bit of power, cause I will tell you that based on everything that I've heard over the last half hour, probably the strongest that you felt in your life was whatever day came right before all of your stuff was burned up. That's what I hear. And then I think that like a big piece of that was taken away then. But this is ultimately like, this is the redemption story. You're right there. That's what I think. That's my take.
I like that redemption story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had a few days last week where my pain just like completely went away for the first time in like forever. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to, you know, tell Eddie that I don't need an interview because I'm all better now. And then, you know, we were trick-or-treating and I was very anxious. Like I had no pain, but for some reason I just couldn't. And I think I realized that, you know, this is going to mean I'm going to have to really address my issues with, you know, my role as a wife and mom and daughter and sister, and it scared me to death. And I think, I realize now I have a ways to go, but the fact that I had a shift at all was very exciting for me. So I think you're right. I think I'm close, but I just, there's just a piece missing, and I'm definitely willing to, you know, pick up the instruments and try that and see how it feels, even though there is some resistance there. I don't really know why, but the violin's just sitting in a corner in my bedroom and I haven't pulled it out in forever. So,
well, and, you know, playing the role of, or having the role of the wife and the mother and the breadwinner and like kind of all these things that you just described, like having those things. And furthermore, maybe even having like the underlying anxiety about those things, that's what feels familiar and feels safe to your nervous system right now. Like that's what, so being in those places, that's what feels safe to you. That's why probably that period of time where there was no pain and there was nothing, you know, it felt freeing in a way, but it also felt very unfamiliar. And so what can we do? Like we can ramp up Elise's pain again until she feels like she's in a place of safety again, which unfortunately that feeling of safety is coming from a place that, you know, physically sucks. But you know, the good news is that, how can we retain that feeling of safety, feeling of freedom, feeling of strength? And I think it's all the stuff that we've talked about the last little while.
Yeah.
Okay. Investigate the poetry again too. I think it's really beautiful when people can do that for starters. And it's tough because on one hand, I'm going to say make it as free flowing as possible. But on the other hand, I'm going to say don't get into a story mode about it, but don't treat it as a journaling. You're trying to uncover emotions, all that kind of stuff. Because I think oftentimes like the best writing is the stuff that just comes and it is what it is. When you get too focused on it, too focused on telling a story, that's when you're completely out of your body. You're completely out of the emotional realm and emotional world and being connected. And now you're not even the passenger on the boat. Like you're the backseat of the boat, versus being a captain.
I like that. Okay.
Anything else?
Nope. I'm looking forward to listening to episode 136.
Yeah.
As soon as we can.
Yeah.
And yeah. I really appreciate your time and your insight. I think you're spot on with everything.
Elise, it was awesome talking to you. Keep in touch, and you know, in a month or something like that, please send me a message and kind of let me know how all this stuff is going. And it'll feel probably like a little bit of work to, you know, bring the instruments back out, going and finding a group to play with and all that kind of stuff. But these places exist. You can find, I mean, I found local one wheel riders in my community on Facebook is great for that. There's meetup groups, like if you don't find them there, but the local rec centers are tremendous for stuff like this. It's, I mean, that's how I got involved in soccer coaching, was like, I didn't give a shit about soccer before I did it, would never find me watching it on TV. I've been to one game, period. I've found that connection with other coaches and parents and kids, like as a parent, to just think of finding 3 additional hours in the week to dedicate to anything seems really tough, but somehow I've done it, and it's the thing I look forward to most, and it's the thing I don't get paid for. It's just a hobby, and like that's what the music is, that's what the poetry is. It's there. I think the key is like it's right there for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Elise, hey, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Eddie.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.